Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, everybody, I'm Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we're here for part two at Cowboy Church when we're asking the question, worship, what is it?
Sure. Have you ever been to a chiropractor?
Yep.
What is the chiropractor doing?
He adjusts you.
He adjusts you for what purpose?
To make you go straighter.
Yeah, it's alignment.
Yeah, alignment. Yeah.
So when we're going to talk about worship, it's about getting in alignment.
That's right.
So
yeah.
I told somebody the other day, I said, I worship God and my team rope. And then they go, wait a minute. That's not true, but it is. And the reason it's true is because I'm not doing this out of a sense of, well, I do like to win, you know, like competition and stuff. But if I'm going to do it, I need to do it as unto the Lord.
Right.
So if I do it as unto the Lord, then that sets everything back up and it's a whole different deal. And it turns it into an act of worship. I'm honoring God by a good practice program, taking care of my horses, doing all the faithful
things
you do.
Keeping you sharp, yeah.
And that's what worship is about.
Yeah.
You get everything all aligned up and it works pretty good.
That's right. It's all in our priorities, you know, the focus.
Sure.
It's our focus. And that's what we are focusing on today. What is the focus of our worship? What is in our way of focusing on Christ. So sit back and relax. I'm going to sing a song and then Russ is going to speak. This is week two of worship. What is it?
Oh, there's power, power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the in the precious blood of the Lamb. Free from the burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Well, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there's power. Sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood, and he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him, and he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Savior came from glory, and how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning of his precious blood atoning, and then I repented of my sin and won the victory. My Savior forever, and he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood, and he loved me ere I knew him, me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away. Come on, sing it with me. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. Somebody, would you? Invite them to breakfast tomorrow morning. That's what you can do. Time should be no more. When the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Will you be there? When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
The Bible says that if we're going to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit. That means in spirit, our connection with God, our spirit man, has to be the most important priority in our existence. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what is truth? Truth is what is based on this Word of God that we read every day. When's the last time you opened up the Bible to seek God's advice on what you're doing? When is the last time you did that? Huh? I'm not saying this to be ugly, but I am saying it in a self-evaluation form. If you're not opening up the Word of God and asking God for His direction first as a priority in your life, then you're not involved in worship. I feel like the most important priority in my life is for me to come in contact with God and the Spirit of God, and I must worship Him in spirit, which means that I need to do it enthusiastically. I need to do it with great fervor. I need to do it as it's a privilege of mine to be able to sit down at the table with God and share a cup of coffee and share His word. Somebody said the other, I love this. Somebody said the other day, they said, if you've never heard God speak out loud, what you do is you open your Bible and read it out loud. You'll accomplish the same thing. If you want to hear God speak to you, read His word. It's right there. His word, the Bible says, this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets between even the bone and the marrow. And what that's talking about is that you have a spirit man living inside you that the surgeon can't cut out. You have a spirit man living inside of you that they can't lay hands on. They can't grab it. They can't hold it. But it's effective and it's inside you. And the Bible says that God is a spirit. And if you're going to worship Him, you must worship Him in spirit, which includes enthusiasm, which includes priorities. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the first item in worship that's so important is priority. The second thing is affection. Colossians 3:2, it says, set your affection on the things of God. Set your affections on the Father. That as a priority, I love a lot of things. I do a lot of things. I love to rope. I love to play music. I love to hang out with people. I love my family. I love working in the barn. I try to make a few saddles every once in a while. And man, I love getting out there in my little saddle shop and nobody's around. Yeah, I just love that stuff. And I have an affection for that. And I use those things to gauge how my affection for God is going. And sometimes what you have to do, you have to put yourself in a position where you can look in the mirror and go, hey, Russ, how do your affections, how are they affected? Are your affections really set on the things of God? Are you really excited about what God's going to do? When you hear about Charlie Kirk, does it make you mad? Or does it give you hope that this testimony can make a difference in people's lives? See, there's a higher affection there. My affection is for what God can do with this testimony. I'm excited what God can do with this testimony, because if I'm not, I get so aggravated and mad at the evil in this world, and my focus begins to go the wrong direction. And my focus needs to be on God, on the things of God and the things that God can do. The Bible says that all things work together. It doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for the good. And when we see bad things go, that's what this verse is for. If everything always went good, you wouldn't need this verse in the Bible. This verse is all things work together for the good, for them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. And when those things begin to happen, as bad as they are, God said, I will make those things work for the good. And now my affections are on what God's going to do. My affections are on the things that God has planned, and not on the world, but on God and on the Spirit of God. And our affections have to be controlled. Your affections have to be controlled. Let me explain to you how that works. For those of you who haven't had this a part of, I'm married. I'm a married man. And there's a certain amount of affection and a type of affection that I have for my wife that is privy to her only. Now, it doesn't mean that the thoughts don't roll through my head when somebody besides her, but it does mean when they start to roll through my head that I go, hey, you don't belong here. Get out of my head, because my affections, my decision, my affections go to my wife. And that kind of affection is only for my wife. Now, I have affection for a lot of other people, but it's not the kind I have for my wife. And I have affection for a lot of other people, but it's not the kind of affection that I have for God, because God is the priority of my affections. And let me show you how it works. Affections don't just grab you, because if you let them, they will destroy you. But you grab your affections and direct them and have them go the direction you want them to go, because that's the way affections are set up. Affections are not supposed to have a skeleton. They are a blob that will float with everything and everywhere it goes. And my job is to give them a structure and a nature to work with. And the structure and nature that you give to work with is that my affections prioritize to God, because God is the Father. God is the Creator. God deserves to be worshiped. And I'm excited to do that. And I tell myself every once in a while, hey, Russ, your affections are messing things up here. Get them back in line with the way they should be. And when my affections are aligned with God being as that priority and my affections on him, then that is worship. That's worship. And guys, the Bible says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, there's a little more to it. There's two other items of worship that will help you a lot. It's the I. Psalms 119, verse 37 says this, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word in my servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." So my eye is the things that I use to behold. Behold. And when the Bible's talking about your eye, it's not just talking about your physical eye. It's talking about the things that you take in. See, like right now I'm looking and we've got cameras and we've got lights. If I close my eyes, my inner man sees cameras and lights. But as my eyes are closed, what I can do is this. I can see my barn. I can see my horses. See Petro in the first stall. I see Junior in the second stall. And I see Jasper, the one that's named after my dad. He's in the third stall and he's nickering. And I see this stuff. But when the Bible's talking about our eyes, what he's saying is, when you close your eyes, what is your focus? I know it sounds weird. I know it sounds odd. But where's your focus? And here's how it works, guys. That everything doesn't always go the way you planned. Everything doesn't always go easy. Sometimes it's a battle, and sometimes it's an uphill, and sometimes it's an endurance, and sometimes it's difficult. But when you close your eyes, where's your focus? Because those who worship him must worship him in spirit. And that doesn't depend on your physical eyes. That depends on what you begin to see in your spirit. And what God will do when you begin to worship him, he will begin to show you the things, the great and mighty things that he has for you. And that is when it gets into the depth of worship. A lot of the times we come to church, they say, "Oh, well, the worship was wonderful." What they mean is they like the songs. And songs and instruments are used in worship. But they're not supposed to be the focus of the worship. They are supposed to be the things that draw us to the place that when we close our eyes and our spirit man is connecting, it's connecting to God, with God, and they're setting the atmosphere so that our eyes can see the things that God wants us to see. There is a peace and a resolve that begins to settle in our hearts that is not contingent on the circumstances of the world. It has to do with our affections being set on God instead of the things of the world. Affection is driven by our decision-making process, and it needs to be prioritized with God himself. The last one is this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me at all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God." See, God has an order in everything he does. And what worship is we begin to align the order that God has for us. And the first alignment of order is God at the top. The second is Christ. The third is the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then men in the family, it's men. And then there's a place for women. Now, after we get out of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean that any man is better than any other man. What it means is when God puts you in a place, your job is to worship God in the place that God has given you. And in a family, the way a family's set up is that it's man first, highest priority, then woman, because there has to be a priority. If you take a vote, guys, there's only two people voting, so it's going to be tied every once in a while, and the tiebreaker has to be the man. And God has called men to live out their authority with great humility while they are serving and worshiping and acknowledging God's place in their life. And they are under God's direction. They are under God's supervision. They are under God's authority. And when they assume their place in life under God, then everything that they're over is blessed by it instead of cursed. And men, we've caused women a lot of problems for two reasons. Two reasons. And some of you are going to like this and some of you are going to hate it. But I'm just trying to tell you, one of the reasons is because we bully in the position that we're in. We think because, well, I'm in charge here, I'm going to do what I want. Doesn't matter what you think. That's not the kind of attitude God's looking for. And the other one is the ones that go, yes, honey, whatever you want. If she ain't happy, nobody's happy. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And when you allow either one of those false premises to be a part of it, you're not actually involving your family in worship. You're allowing your family to operate in chaos. And when you will take charge the way that God wants you to take charge, in the best, godly, kindest, strong, correct, truthful way, your home will be blessed because of it. And what worship is, when we worship God, what worship is we assume the role that we have been given in life. And when we assume that role and we serve God in that role, what we're doing is we are worshiping God and showing worship of God to people who don't deserve worship. It's a cool thing. So I just want you to know that in God's program, in God's lives, if we will follow, he says, follow me. Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. If we'll do that, if we'll have that kind of attitude and that kind of heart, here's the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, 3/4 of it probably. He's saying that the thing that makes my ministry effective is I follow Christ. So follow me as I follow Christ. And you will be effective also. That's worship, guys. That's worship. When you can say that, when you can truthfully say that to your family, you follow me as I follow Christ. When we're in church, we're in church. My dad never said to me one time that we're going to church and you're going to church with us. He didn't have to. I kind of knew that if we tried not to go to church, that it wouldn't be a good thing. Because my dad had established this authority and order in our family, and he did it through his worship of God. Follow me as I follow Christ. When you do that, you'll be involved in worship, and worship is one of the greatest things. It may be, guys, it may be the greatest aspect of living for God that there really is.
God bless you. Thanks for watching Cowboy Church.